everybody is doing nicely. We're definitely talking about a little bit of, I would say, almost like an out-of-the-box topic for what the slot normally is. Let me try to give a little bit of a little bit of introduction. It's my understanding, now confirmed by several of you, that Daf Yomi Yerushalmi is beginning, and that's actually part of a sort of larger discussion about the world of Talmud Yerushalmi, the world of Yerushalmi as opposed to the world of Bavli, and we'll see that there are those who argue that specifically, like in our day, in our time, that more and more people should be learning Yerushalmi. We'll try to make the counter argument also, but we're going to try to do our best. Now, let me begin by just saying like this. We know that Rav Meir Shapiro started Daf Yomi, Rav Shiva Chachmei Lublin. Rav Meir Shapiro had the idea that Klal Yisrael could all learn one daf of Gemara, all of Klal Yisrael the same day, learning the same daf, and that would be incredibly, incredibly meaningful. He quoted the Gemara, Mesachas Yevamos. This gets quoted, I believe, in some of the Siyam Hashases. I think that Rabbi Friend has quoted this at least once. The Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva that when he was in a particular situation, that daf shel sfina nizdaminli. I was in a difficult, risky situation, and I found a board from a boat, a daf shel sfina, with something that was able to provide me a degree of safety and protection. And said Rabbi Meir Shapiro that that's the same thing that Klal Yisrael has, a daf yomi. There's one daf that they can keep with them. So that's going to be very powerful. In the Gera Rebbe, the Leif Simcha. The Leif Simcha got up at one of the Gudda conventions, and he said, I think we're ready for the next step. We've been learning Daf Yomi Bavli, and it's been amazing, amazing. He said, I think we're ready. Let's start learning Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. Let's start learning Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. He said, I'll even tell you, I think that Meir Shapiro gave us a hint to this idea that we should learn Daf Yomi Yerushalmi, because he said that the gematria of Daf Shel Sfina, the reference for Daf Yomi, the gematria, Zehu HaYerushalmi. This is the Yerushalmi. That the real Daf of the Sfina is the Yerushalmi. And therefore, he said, even though it's really challenging, even though it's really hard, I think people should learn Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. And that's something which has, in, I don't want to say it's picked up in mass. I can't say that there are thousands, to my knowledge, all wherever you go, but everyone's learning Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. But it definitely seems to be, something which started from the Ger Rebbe, It's an interesting thing, because I want to try to make almost like two kinds of arguments and divide up what we're speaking about in the following way. Number one is, why not learn Yerushalmi? Why don't we learn that much Yerushalmi? Got a lot of Sfarim in the room here right now. I have one small four-volume set of Yerushalmi. It does not get opened as often as some of the other Sfarim. How come many, many people don't learn Daf Yomi or don't learn Yerushalmi? How come it isn't learned as often as we would like, or as often? We'll speak about probably four different things about it. And then we'll try to make the case as to why a person theoretically would want to learn Yerushalmi. And we're going to develop at the end a particular approach based on the writings of Rav Kook, which has particular significance nowadays, and where he was really at with that. Let me begin, I guess, like this: why not learn Yerushalmi? There's something off about this. Like on the day when Daf Yomi Yerushalmi is beginning, to have like your four reasons why you shouldn't learn Yerushalmi, something about that seems almost inappropriate. But okay, I don't know. It's what we're doing. So the first mahalach is like this: we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi, all else being equal. When the Yerushalmi is taking on the Talmud Bavli. So we paskin like the Bavli. This, the Rif writes, very famously in the end of Mesechas Erevin, the Rif says that we don't care as much about what the Yerushalmi says, we care much more. Or if there's a Machlokas, we always paskin like the Talmud Bavli. Why do we paskin like the Talmud Bavli? Because Talmud Bavli came later. And because Talmud Bavli came later, Halacha Kibasrai, it came later. They knew about what was in the Yerushalmi. If they rejected it, they rejected it. There's even a Sefer put out. If anyone's familiar with the Sefer Kovetz, Yisodos V'chakiros. You ever see the black Sefer? So he's written two Sfarim on Yerushalmi. One Sefer called Darchei HaTalmudim, and the other one is called Imri B'Ma'arava. So he gives examples where you may see this phenomenon, where things that are maskanas in the Yerushalmi come up as Hava Aminas in the Bavli and reject it. Because maybe this is really the case, like a list of these cases. It really is. Halacha Kibasrai, they saw it, and they came along, and they rejected it. So the first reason why is that we don't really paskin. The Bavli is more of the normative psak. The Yerushalmi, less so. The second reason, and one and two are going to combine, I think, in a pretty compelling way, the Yerushalmi is different than the Bavli. One of the ways the Yerushalmi is different than the Bavli, and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the way many interpret the Tziv and others, and Friedrich Rebbe, relate to this, which is the world of the Gemara Bavli, it's very like Lumdish. When you learn the Gemara Bavli, so it flows a lot, and a lot of questions. You know, what were you originally thinking? How come you would say it like this? There's a lot of give and take, back and forth, a lot of pilpul going on, a lot of analysis, a lot of different discussions that take place in Talmud Bavli. The Yerushalmi doesn't have that the same way. The Yerushalmi, at least so writes the people who like have learned a lot of Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi is much more straightforward, it's much more direct in a halach lemaisa kind of a way. There's a lot less of the certain kinds of give and takes. Many point out that's why even the way, if you've ever seen this, the way people refer to the way that a Mishnah is referred to in the Bavli, we say masnisen, shinun, something that we're learning. The way a Mishnah is referred to in the Yerushalmi, it's referred to as a halacha, as a halacha. It's a much more halachically focused thing. So if you put points one and two together, it's a pretty compelling argument not to learn a lot of Yerushalmi. If Yerushalmi tends to be a more halacha l'maisa focused book, part one, and part two, we don't paskin like it over the Bavli. So the conclusion would be, the same way that if you are not a Doda Mizrach, or if you're not Yemenite, as an example, and there's a sefer that comes out of the Piskei Halacha of Rabbi Tzavi, one of the great Yemenite poskim, and it has no analysis, just the psak of, you know, or Minhagi Morocco, just a list of them, and you're not Moroccan, and there's no analysis there, so you may say, I'm not sure I need this work right now. Like, I'm not sure in the priority of things that I would necessarily need it. There's a third factor in Yerushalmi which makes it a little bit challenging to learn, which is there's a lot of work done on our Bavli. So you ever see like, you've all seen this. In the Bavli, you have some girsa issues sometimes in the Bavli. You have it where the Hagos HaBach comes in. You know, you have, let's say, in a Gemara and Makos and Dal and the Beis, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva holds Lav She'im Bo Maisa, Ein Lokin Alav. But there's like a little note there, there's a Marsha and a Maram, and Tobit they've had the girsa that it's not Rabbi Akiva, really it's Rabbi Yaakov. You have that in the Bavli. However much you have it in the Bavli, the Yerushalmi has a lot more with the girsa issues. A lot of girsaos issues in the Yerushalmi. Listen to a Talmud Chacham speak yesterday who's gone through Yerushalmi. He was saying like, with Yerushalmi sometimes, like you make up your own girsa changes. Like, you're like, oh, I think this had to be like this. In the Bavli, like, if you would come up and you're like, I think we're changing the girsa right now, you know? I think the Bach... No, that's not really what we do. I had a friend who told me once, I was at Hatham Shabbos when I was in high school, so his father told me when he was learning in yeshiva for the year, his father was learning in a certain yeshiva, and there's a very opinionated guy in that yeshiva. And that guy, when he didn't like a Tosvos, just cut it out of his Gemara, like, mamish. Like, no, must be it's all wrong. Like, so, okay. The joke always is that there's also something on the other side of that particular Tosfos, even if you were so confident about that one and the way that our Gemaras go. But there's definitely a lot of Girsa kinds of issues, and you see that even in some of the Rishonim. The Orzeru, I believe, points that out. Yitzchak Yosef has a great set of Sfarim called Ein Yitzchak. He talks about things like when Poskim say the word Efshar, what does he really mean? It's a great collection of Sfarim. So he has a piece there, Yitzchak Yosef, where he quotes a lot of girsa issues there. Tosfos and Yevamos, even like Tosfos and Yevamos on Kufdal, it's like a classic kind of example, like quotes the Yerushalmi and says like, I must be the wrong girsa, and changes the girsa. A lot of girsa issues in the Yerushalmi. Happens to be also, it's hard to learn for another reason, so I'm told by those that learn these things, is that the Bavli, much as we have no punctuation in the Bavli, things more or less flow, unless there's like a two dots. You know, things more or less, a certain kind of flow. In the Yerushalmi, there's less of a flow. It's like different like collections of statements, you know, and things like that. And there weren't Rishonim on Yerushalmi the same way, which is another kind of a point. That there weren't Rishonim, like we don't have Rashi, we don't have Tosfos on the Yerushalmi. We have other Achronim who are explaining Pshat in the Yerushalmi. And for that reason, there wasn't as much work done, it's a little bit harder. There is another reason why many prioritize Bavli, which is, we are busy enough with Bavli, we need not worry about Yerushalmi for now. Maybe it's just me. It's a lot of books here. And Bavli can keep you pretty busy. especially if you learn in a certain kind of style of a little bit more Ian, especially if a person learns in a style of a little bit more analysis. So there's a lot to stay busy with it. Like Professor Chaim Soloveitchik once pointed out, that, you know, before the Bali HaTosfos, again, this argument has been discussed in different places, but before the Bali HaTosfos, what would happen was people, you could like master, you went to the Gemara, and then you were like, you could master it, like I got Shas. One of the things the Bali HaTosfos did was, I have to compare everything within Shas to each other and figure out how everything gets resolved, how this Gemara fit with that Gemara, and that Gemara with this Gemara, and to explain it, and it became a much more time-consuming activity, so they were spending less time in other things. They were writing piyutin less, because they were just too busy learning like Shas. So they weren't able to do so. So us, for whatever reason, it takes a lot of time with Talmud Bavli. Those are reasons why Daf Yomi Bavli gets really, really a lot of press. And Daf Yomi Yerushalmi, you know, we find about it if we get like an email that something's going on, or like I have a friend's WhatsApp status telling me about an 11-minute Daf Yomi Yerushalmi share. So there are things like that that give you a little bit more insight. Okay. What's the argument to learn Yerushalmi? So here we're going to, again, we're going to build, I hope we have time to talk about Rav Kook at length. But we're going to build. Number one, maybe we actually do paskin like the Yerushalmi sometimes. The Ritva writes in a tshuva. The Ritva is tshuvas. I think it's the last tshuva. The Ritva writes in a tshuva that if the Bavli's quiet about something, we'll paskin like the Yerushalmi. So we do sometimes paskin like the Yerushalmi. Good to know. Sometimes we paskin like the Yerushalmi. Not only that, but there's a really important Rishon that may paskin like the Yerushalmi a lot, and that is the Rambam. The Maharik writes in the Tshuva, the Rambam often passes based on Yerushalmis. So sometimes you're learning something, and the Rambam doesn't tell us the sources, and the Tekelim are wondering what the source is. Sometimes it's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi becomes important for that particular reason. There are also some very famous Yerushalmis in the world of Lamdas that get quoted. Mitzvah Babavera, Darfei Kiddushin, there are ones that get quoted a little bit that are important. But there's a movement to learn a lot more Yerushalmi in two worlds in particular. Two writings. One comes from the world of Rav Kook and his Talmidim. The other comes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they both share something in common. Rav Kook and the Lubavitcher Rebbe share something in common, which is they're living in a world that talks a lot about Geula. They're living in a world that talks a lot about redemption. The way that the Lubavitcher Rebbe said it, if I can find this, that'd be great. If not, I'm going to be... I mean, I'll get over it, but I'll be a little bit sad. It's like wildly sad, but you know. The Baba Cherebi said it like this. I'm sorry it's not here. He said, we have to start learning Yerushalmi. Ubefrat shalimud Yerushalmi hu inyan shazman grama ki bekarav mamash yotzim mibavel uba'im liYerushalayim. They're hoping to leave the world of Galus and enter Eretz Yisrael. And that's the world of Bavli and the world of Yerushalmi. Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke a lot about Talmud Yerushalmi, and Rav Kook did it because he thought that Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, and for Rav Kook it was a very, very important thing. Let's understand that a little bit of what's going on. There, Chazal speak about this idea of Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, of Avira De'ara Machkim. There's a certain different kind of Talmud Torah when you come to Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean? So I think the way that most of us would probably interpret those kinds of ideas is that it's the same Torah you learn whether you're in Chutz La'aretz or whether you're in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a wildly different kind of Torah. It's more or less the same kind of Torah. What's the chilak? That is, there's a certain clarity that a person can have in Eretz Yisrael. Some of the Rishonim say, I happen to love this pshat, and it's relevant for today. I think the Ralbach says, why is Avira De'ara Machkim, the air of Eretz Yisrael Machkim? The climate is better in Israel than it is in other places. Who doesn't like learning outside in a nice, beautiful day? It's just better. He was bitter because he wanted to talk outside today, and I said no, because I guess reject the idea of Avira De'ara Machkim. But there's something very, the thing Eretz Yisrael is a certain kind of clarity. In the world of Rav Kook, and some of this comes from the Netziv, and some of this comes even from the Gemara, it's a lot more than that. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael is a different Torah than the Torah of Chutz La'aretz. And the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is most modeled, associated with the Talmud Yerushalmi, and the Torah of Chutz La'aretz is most connected to that world of Talmud Bavli. In what way? So a lot of this comes from Rav Kook's great Rebbe, the Netziv, in the Sefer Kidmas HaEmek, Adama, the following way. The Gemara associates Talmud Bavli, Gemara Sanhedrin, with being in a place of darkness. And the Talmud Yerushalmi is associated with being in a place of light. Why is Talmud Bavli like a place of darkness? Talmud Bavli is the Torah that we had when we were in Galus. We're thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, we're hanging out in Galus. So because of that, we don't have Nevuah. There's no like real kind of clarity that comes Derech HaNavi. So what happens? What happens in Talmud Bavli? When you have no Navi, what are you forced to do? A lot of serious analysis, of thought, of give and take, of clarity, of questions, of havminas, of maskanas, of ibayluhus and tekus. You're going to be living in that world in the Talmud Bavli. It's a world of pilpul. That world starts out as darkness, but as Netziv writes, and the Friedrich Rebbe in a beautiful mimer about Talmud Yerushalmi, writes also that when you go through it, what you end up walking out with can be so deep. It can be so deep and so illuminating and so clear. But it's a very dark kind of a process. It's very hard. I mean, imagine this for a second, taking a step back, looking at what a sugya sometimes can look like. The beginning of a sugya, like, I don't even know what's going on. We're learning Lav She'en Bo Maisa. I don't know, it's like a million, I don't know. Yesh Bo, Ein Bo. I don't know, why would it matter? What's the mucker? The Gemara sounds like this, but Rashi quotes the Havamina. Why is Rashi quoting the Havamina? And why does it seem like maybe there's two Mekoros? And why is it that the Sefer Chinuch defined it differently? It's very, but at the end, a person can gain a degree of insight that can give clarity to so many discussions. I now understand certain things so well, but it comes, it's a grind, and it's really hard. And that's the Torah of Bavel. It's a dark Torah, but it brings enormous light, and it's ultimately, it gives us a lot of insight, which is why we pay Paskin like Bavli over Yerushalmi. But Talmud Yerushalmi gives us something else. The Talmud Yerushalmi is a Gemara which comes by way of Eretz Yisrael. In the world of Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Kook had a lot about why Dafka Talmud Yerushalmi, a lot of other reasons also, but part of it for Rav Kook is the idea of Eretz Yisrael is an idea of an increased clarity. And an increased clarity has less of the give and take and sfeikos. You ever go to like a halacha shir where someone's telling you like, this is what you do. Is that that person speaks with a lot of clarity. That is mutter. That is us with a lot of clarity. So it doesn't give you as much depth of information sometimes, as far as why and what and how, but it's almost like this form of Torah, which is a little bit closer to Nevuah, to Ruach Kodesh. It's a little bit closer, just like the clarity to say, like, this is what you do, and to leave it in many ways like that. It's able to give it to you in that kind of a way with the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi. So Rav Kook is a huge believer in Talmud Yerushalmi because he thinks that Talmud Yerushalmi is part of this Torah's Eretz Yisrael a little bit. When Rav Kook moves to Eretz Yisrael, he starts giving a shir to different people in yeshiva on Inyanei Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi Zra'im. Because Yerushalmi is for him, it's part of that Torah of Eretz Yisrael, and that Torah of Eretz Yisrael is a Torah of clarity. It's a Torah of this is what it is. Without all the analysis and the questions and the give and take and things like that, this is really what it is. Rav Kook goes a little bit further. There's another factor also. I'll be mocking it in the following way. The Maharal develops, it's a little bit of a wild idea, but it'll explain a little bit in terms of the world of learning. There's Am Yisrael's in Galus. Am Yisrael's in Galus. This is the Maharal's based on Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. I believe Am Yisrael's in Galus. So Am Yisrael spread out. Oraisa v'Yisrael, Chadhu. It's a little bit of a mystical, kind of a Kabbalistic idea, but Chazal say that Am Yisrael and Torah are really one. Which means, again, we're dipping in the world of Machshava here a bit, that if Klal Yisrael is in Galus and spread out, and we are with Torah, so it must be that also Torah is spread out. What does it mean that Torah is spread out? What it means is it's hard to get clarity because there are a million things in a million different places. That if I have a shayla, it could be it's a gemara here, it could be it's a gemara there, it could be it's something over there or something over there. Torah is spread out in a certain sense. So it's hard to track things down and to find things. So what's part of the idea? That if you want to have geula, So one way to bring Geula is to bring Klal Yisrael back together. You know another way to bring Geula is to bring Torah back together. So in the Hakdama to the first edition of the Piskei Tshuvos, where he quotes Poskim from all over on different topics, so Piskei Tshuvos, it's a redemptive act to gather things together. So what do we have, the way that if you read what's happening in light of history, if you had that style, so the Sfarim over there, the Masifta Gemaras, or a lot of Sfarim, what do those Sfarim do? They take a lot of different things from a lot of different areas, and what's their job? They're bringing it all together. They're giving you everything and bringing it together. There's a spread out element of Klal Yisrael, but I'm trying to bring it together. One of the things that Rav Kook spoke a lot about was this is like one of these things which is really intriguing, if you're into like funkier Derech Halimuds a little bit, is the integration of lots of different styles of Torah all together. If I want to learn a topic, I don't want to learn that topic like, I happen to learn this in Halacha, I happen to learn this in Iyun, I happen to learn that in Machshav, I happen to learn that in Musar, I happen to learn that in Philosophy, I happen to learn that in Psak, Shai. No. I want to learn a topic, and in a Geuladic sense, bring it all together with everything. And part of everything for a cook means I can't just learn Talmud Bavli. I also have to bring in Yerushalmi. I also have to bring in Midrashim. I also have to bring in maybe Sifri Machshava. I also have to bring in Lamdas. I also have to bring in Psak. I have to integrate things in a certain kind of way. Rav Kook didn't always do this lemaisa like in his tshuvas, but part of the Yerushalmi is because for Rav Kook, there's something like redemptive about it. There's something about a geula that a person is potentially tapping into when they do this. In that sense, Rav Kook pushed strong that when he started his yeshiva, I believe Merkaz HaRav's official yeshiva is Yeshiva HaMerkazit HaOlamit. It is the central yeshiva of the world. It's a name of a yeshiva. It's a name of a yeshiva that's like, when they're in Yerushalayim. So that he was very into them learning in that yeshiva, Bavli with Yerushalmi. There was a work, there was a project at some point in time of printing this, we don't have this, of printing Gemaras, where one side is Bavli, the other side is not an English translation or a Hebrew translation. The other side is relevant Yerushalmis. And that way you're able to engage in an act of comparison of Bavli to Yerushalmi, which is going to give a little bit more insight of that kind of like. And you have the Feinayim in the back of the Gemara often. If you ever see the Feinayim in the back of the Gemara, will often tell you in the Bavli, old Gemara, which is not going to have it, which means I'm looking here for really no reason at all, but I'm going to go for it anyway because I'm too stubborn not to. But Yifeinayim right here. In the Yifeinayim in the back, so he references for you different Yushalmis. It's like where to look in the Yushalmi. So instead of just doing that, so all you really had to do was have the Yushalmi maybe next to you a little bit, and you'd be able to make your way through. So in a certain sense, for Rav Kook, this becomes part of what's called of the halacha brura, goal, which is to have next to it, all in one place, all these different kinds of Torah that are going to be coming together. And Rav Kook wrote about this a lot. This thing. He also wanted even like an introduction to Bavli Yerushalmi to help prepare people a little bit. But the Torah's Eretz Yisrael is the biggest piece. I'll just. Michazer, and I'll end with an amazing anecdote, which some of us may reference tomorrow morning, I apologize. But, so the world of Yerushalmi started today. Yerushalmi is very, very wild. Yerushalmi is really interesting. It's a little bit different style. It's more psach, more halacha-based. But the only reason the Yerushalmi has Zerayim, because that's halacha maisa for the world of Eretz Yisrael, to know about Zerayim. So you have a lot of stuff in Yerushalmi there. It's a halacha. It's more basic. We don't pass them like it. The Ritva is the Eruvin. Except for the Ritva says, unless there's maybe Bobby's kind of silent on the topic. It's a little bit of style. The Girsa does not work that the same way. The gears not work out the same way, which definitely creates a particular kind of challenge. And again, we're definitely busy with Bavli enough, but there's a lot of important things in Yerushalmi, a lot of important Lumdus ideas that come out in Yerushalmi, and we do at times, and for Rav Kook, a lot of the Torah Eretz Yisrael thing is big. If you go around Eretz Yisrael a little bit, there are some funkier places that try to invoke a Rav Kook inspired style of Torah Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalmi centric. I believe that there is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael who has gone so far as to essentially claim that
we're basically already in elements of the Geula, and because we're basically in elements of the Geula, we're holding in a time where the Yerushalmi takes more precedence, and therefore he's, you know, doing a lot of things based on Talmud Yerushalmi, paskening a lot more based on Talmud Yerushalmi, that we're in a particular era, some funkier ways of doing so. There's in the Hesder Yeshiva in Ma'alot. Anyone been in Ma'alot? Who's there? Oh, you guys, where you stayed, in Ma'alot. So the Hesder Yeshiva in Ma'alot, I believe, is associated with Weitzman, I think is Rashiva, I think, who has put out Sfarim on Torah Eretz Yisrael, which for him is like lumdus with like a little bit of like a machshava kind of a bend of like merging different kinds of Torah together. Many people have tried doing this. It sometimes comes off like a little bit different. Rav Shigar, if you're familiar, did it comes off a little bit different than what many of us are used to. It's a little bit out of the box. You know, this kind of like Torah Eretz Yisrael of a particular kind of merging things. I'll just end with an amazing anecdote. There was, and again, I apologize if we some of us speak tomorrow morning, there's no Yerushalmi on Kachem that we have. I don't know if people are aware of the background in this. It's fascinating. It seems like there are Rishonim that believed that there was Yerushalmi on Kachem. At some point I don't know, 150 years ago, 120 years ago, there was a person who came around to Hungary and other areas that claimed that he had a manuscript of the Talmud Yerushalmi on Kachem. There were a variety of Gedol Yisrael that identified it as a forgery, and there are many that did not. He took Yerushalmi from different places that were going to be on the bot, like, and you can, you know, there were some that. So I heard Rav Yosef Gabriel Beckhoffer, who's a big Talmud Chacham, who learned in Yeshiva many years ago, who gave Daf Yomi Shiurim in Bavli and Yerushalmi. So I heard he was interviewed about this thing. Of course, thing amazing. The founding of Shiva Shalvim is Rav Meir Sussinger. So he said he once asked Rav Meir the following Shaila. Rav Meir Sussinger said, I think the Chavetz Chaim, for a while at least, was fooled into believing it was the real Yerushalmi and Kachem. So he said, he asked his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, how could the Chavetz Chaim have been fooled? How could the Chavetz Chaim have been fooled to think that it was the real Yerushalmi? How come he didn't pick up on it? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I think the answer is as follows. It was shochad. It was all a bribe. Chavetz Chaim was bribed. What was he bribed by? He so much lived the life of Tzipisa Yeshua that when he heard that there was a Yerushalmi Kachim, and we finally discovered Yerushalmi Kachim, he thought it's the Raya, like it's really about to come, the Geula. Like, it's really about to come. And he was so, so excited that it was so hard for him to believe it wasn't the Yerushalmi and Kachim, because he was so excited about the possibility of this mount, of this really sort of being what the of something that's going to bring the Geula in that kind of a way. So whether you are learning Yerushalmi, Tafiyomi, or not, whether you're learning it every day on your own, with an art scroll, on a recording of varying lengths, or you are not, Yerushalmi is certainly part of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's part of Torah Shebaal Peh. It is something which does not take over for the dominance of Talmud Bavli as far as Psak and what we learn. Has a lot that it can contribute in different ways, different people sort of relate to the Daf Yomi. But certainly, hopefully, with the strengthening of the Yerushalmi, as Baba Rebbe said, hopefully we'll be zocha to leave the world of Bavel and enter the world of Yerushalayim. We'll be zocha to experience a geula through all of those, at minimum, who are learning Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Okay.